Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in.
This Monday came faster than like...
It came too fast.
I'm going to say something very dirty.
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Tanya. Come on.
Then a man having sex for the first time in his life.
Wow. Rolled off the tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. And my whole body is like in pain. I don't know what happened to it, but we had JoJo and Jordan's wedding over the weekend. And I don't know if it was just like being in heels for that long. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but I am exhausted.
I don't know how you, what time did you have to get up today?
So early.
Yeah.
And the best part is like today is like my longest day in America because after we wrap the podcast, Sissy and I are heading down to Disneyland till like 9 p.m.
It should sound fun, but it sounds like the last thing I'd ever want to do right now.
The problem is because we were in so much traffic. I feel like all I've been doing has been sitting in traffic all
I know.
Weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I like rolled my ankle at some point on Saturday and I didn't know till I woke up yesterday. So I have like a sore ankle. It's like my old basketball days, except I was definitely not playing basketball.
But you know what I realized?
What?
Drinking is so fun in the moment, but the next day it's getting worse and worse.
Do you think the fun in the moment is Do you think the fun in the moment outweighs the misery after the moment the next day?
I don't know, but let me tell you what's really bad is when you're hungover and then you drink more the next day because that's like the wedding. You know what I mean? Like, so we were hungover on Saturday and then we just kept drinking on Saturday to like beat the hangover and then had the wedding. And so Sunday it was like game over.
So I didn't drink. Did I drink on
Friday? Yeah, you did.
I did drink, but not at, like I didn't feel bad the next day because we had an early morning Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even drink that much at the wedding, but I think on top of not sleeping well, it being a long day, the excitement mixed in with some tequila shots and such, I will say I'm still on the mend of like feeling rejuvenated.
Yeah. I'm so pissed because I brought my like really good lingerie to wear this weekend. Like I had a full plan. I was like, I'm just going to get a little tipsy at the welcome thing on Friday, go back to our room and have a show.
Yeah.
It didn't come out all weekend.
No.
Not one, not even for a second.
Honestly, that's when you know you had a good time.
Yeah. We really did. We like totally lived it up. We like rented a bike, rode around town, mm-hmm. like really did all the things.
Yeah, y'all really made it into like a little mini getaway.
A little mini getaway.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was like, I mean, I was telling my sister, like I didn't have any, like there wasn't anything where I was like, it was perfect except like it was just perfect.
Yeah.
I was looking over. So this girl shows up in a like dress with a butterfly on it. And then she had her earrings were like two butterfly wings. And then she had a butterfly clutch.
Oh, she was like Miss Butterfly.
And I was like, I've got to bring you over to some to meet someone.
Sure did. Took photos with her and her clutch. I was just like,
yeah, I have the best video of Tanya just holding this girl's clutch, like taking a selfie with it. I was like, what are you going to do with that?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to post it because the fact that she was there, butterfly girl, at the wedding was just like, I feel significant, don't you think?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What, I feel like you get very emotional at weddings.
Did you see, I don't know, you didn't see me because you were walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
But I started weeping within 30 seconds of the ceremony, was crying the entire ceremony.
Yeah.
And then I pulled it together. Mm-hmm. Like I stopped crying until speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost it again.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a crier.
How does,
I don't
does
think Rhett's, I can get wedding. Does, I don't think I can have a wedding because I can't hold it together for other people's weddings. Can you imagine my own?
I don't know. I think you're so like nervous and excited and like everyone's watching you that maybe you don't feel like when you're the guest, you're feeling like so like you're feeling all of it. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you can't have a wedding.
Yeah. I literally was like, I even at people's weddings, I don't even know well. Like, obviously, I know Jordan and Jojo.
Yeah.
But if I go to a wedding, you know, Red Star brings me to somebody that I haven't written.
You cry?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I can't.
So the wedding energy.
It's too emotional. Much for me. Too much for me.
Does Robbie cry?
He didn't cry in the ceremony. He cried during the dad's speech a little bit.
He did.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not oof, cried. But
oof, oof. What? The dad speech.
Oh, yeah. And he really brought it. Oh, he really brought it.
And her dad reminds me a little bit of my dad.
Yeah, I get that.
That energy. Yeah. And so I was really just, oof, oof.
Oh, yeah. Your dad's
Tanya and I
speech.
Are cancers, so I relate to this. So, yeah, it's the weddings get me. Now that I have kids, the births of children get me. Proposals always get me. Even on TV and in movies, proposals really get me. Like, I'm just always kind of, it's never far from the surface.
Yeah. It's always like just like right there.
I'm pretty like it could go either way for proposals. Sometimes I'm like, oof, I hope that's never the position I'm in that setting, or that's I hope that's never how it's done for me.
I do have to say though, when I showed up Friday night to the welcome party, Becca and I were in very cohesive dresses.
We really were.
That were not planned. I did not know you were gonna wear that, and we basically were in like
a very similar dress, just in a similar like.
Style.
Complimentary color palette.
It's almost as though we're starting to think alike, which you know makes me so happy.
Yes.
And you not so much.
Well, I'm just trying to think. Does that mean you're thinking more like me or I'm thinking more like you? Because
it's a win-win if you ask me.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was just like fun to have. I mean, obviously. So Haley rode up with Robbie and Tanya, and then the other day she was hanging out with Carson and Allie.
Okay.
And she was like, I was just the third wheel all weekend, like with the two couples. And I was like, I actually really enjoy being a third wheel. Like, I feel very taken care. Like, I almost feel like a kid when I'm a third wheel. You know, like both people, they're like trying to take care of you, bringing you snacks.
I did. I know. But the whole weekend we did feel like we needed. We were always checking in with Haley to make sure she didn't want to like come with us to lunch or do anything because we were just like, she's just chilling in her room.
But I think the third wheel gets a bad rap. And I'm like, I think I like it. I feel very cared for as a third wheel. Like, I'm like catered to.
Yeah, it's true. But I will say, so we were driving out and Haley was with us. So it was me, Robbie, and Haley. And traffic was just wild on Friday. I don't know what in the world, but we were in the car and we were already going to be late to this, to the what was it called? Welcome party. We were going to be late. So I was like, we can't pull over. And I had to pee so bad. Oh, yeah. I had my hydro flask and I was like, I know we're late. I really have to pee. So I'm just going to go in my hydro flask. And they both looked at me like I was from planet Mars. They were like, you're going to what? So clearly they don't listen to the podcast.
Zero support.
So that was first in the rankings. So then I told them the story about when we were going to the airport and I had to pee in my hydro flask. Cut to, they pulled over to a gas station and we all got to pee. And I just felt very respected by them.
This is, I just had this conversation yesterday. Somehow this story has morphed into this version where I do not care about Tanya. I only care about getting to the flight on time, as if I care about getting to the flight on time. That's the best part of how this story has taken another like turn, because she makes it sound like we had all the time in the world and I just would not pull over. I need to bring up the original podcast story because it's not that fresh, but yeah, I remember it being like seven lanes of traffic trying to get to the Boston airport. It was like deadlocked. To get over and find somewhere to pee, we would have missed the flight. Like there was just, it was like that conversation.
It is true. We did walk onto the plane.
But now she's, her story today is that I did not take care of her. She did not feel respected. I just like basically ignored her needs. And that's how rumors get started. And so I was watching her like retell it on her story again. And I was like, this is not the truth, yeah, Tanya. So
Becca really wants to clear the air.
I needed to clear the air because I feel like, you know, everyone has their own version of what happened, but we have actual proof of that because we told the story right after
it happened. Yeah. We should roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
Yeah. So we'll find that and we'll get to the bottom of this. But the way I saw it, I felt very held captive into the car. And my only choice of relieving myself as a woman who's prone to UTIs was to go in the hydro flask.
Well, I left on Thursday and also got stuck in that traffic and I did not want to pull over and I had my hydro flask in my seat next to me and we were making eye contact and I was like, I don't want to have to do it, but it's getting to where my whole body feels cramped up because I have to pee so bad.
Well, you know, the thing with the hydro flask is the lid is wide. So it's not like a water bottle. You know, you can really get it around there. So there's no spilling happening. It's really quite handy.
Yeah.
In a pinch.
No,
we should sponsor Hydro Flask should sponsor us. And we can give, you know, it's not just for water and drinking liquids. It's also for heavy traffic times.
How close do you get it to yourself?
I put it right in there.
She threw hers away though. Like the last time when she went in the car and she goes, do I just keep it? And I was like, Tanya, just.
I was going to keep it.
They're not cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're not, but like you can, if she can afford another.
Wipe that baby out with some boiling water. Call it a brand spanking new.
Yeah, we had to just, you know, we said goodbye. It lived on in Boston, but I actually had to pull over on like a side gravel pull off and do like a wilderness pee because I was about to pass out. I had to go so bad. And that's the second time I've ever had to do that. It's very humbling.
Yeah.
And I did it. And then I was like kind of proud of myself because I was like, you know what? I'm by myself, a lone traveler. Had to pull off and do a wilderness pee. And I felt so much. I was like mad at myself I didn't pull off earlier because I was like, oh, I'm like in a good mood now. So yeah, glad we both had those experiences.
Yeah.
Glad you were with people who love you and respect you and care about your well-being.
I know. Thank you. I do too. I felt really seen and heard and loved.
Yeah. Good.
And then on the way back, I did a Q&A and Robbie did it for the first time ever with me because we were just in the car. He's like, what else do we have? You know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, and that was another topic I wanted to bring up. I'm curious about your poll results because what happened in y'all's dating relationship was that you liked a photo of his and then he messaged you after he saw you liked the photo. So the controversy question was who made the first move, right?
It's really a hot topic. It's really a hot topic amongst us because he believes I made the first move and I believe he made the first move.
I don't understand Hinge. Is you liked a photo on Hinge?
Yeah, you can like someone's photo or comment or whatever, and it like alerts them.
Yeah. So like you match with people and then like already, and then you can like their photos. Almost like Instagram. Like you can just like go in and like their photos.
Then I say Tanya made the first move.
But I didn't say hello. I didn't say anything. He's the first
one. Doesn't matter. That's the handkerchief drop right there.
That's what I said. I literally said he dropped the hanky and he picked it up and made the next move.
Well, according to Instagram, I am winning that he made the first move.
I don't think you made the first move. I think him reaching out, because I think what you did is the equivalent of like raising your eyebrows at somebody at a coffee shop or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that
I don't think that's a move.
No, that is a move, because that says, hey, I want you to come talk to me. And then they decide if they're going to do it. But you make the first
That is the least committal move in the history of moves.
No, raising your eyebrows
though.
Is not a move. That's like a muh.
That's not. First of all, I don't think liking a photo on a dating app is the same as raising your eyebrows at someone in a coffee shop.
Yes, it is.
No, I don't think those are the same.
You're right. It's more aggressive.
I think a wink is more.
Yes.
Is a more equivalent.
Yes. I still don't think that's because you can throw out winks all day long and no one's ever going to say anything to you. Going up and talking to someone, that's a move to put things in motion.
If I made eye contact with someone at a bar or something and they winked, I'd be like, they're into, I could go up and make a move confidently.
Right, make the first move.
The first move.
They made the first move.
I wink at people all the damn time. Maybe I better stop because
they're
just
definitely thinking that you're they're making a move.
Here's the final answer. And I'm glad that Hannah agrees with me and Becca.
No. She agrees with me.
She does.
Oh, wait, you're right, Hannah.
Tanya made the first move. Here's the final thing. If you had not done that, Robbie may never have messaged you. Therefore, you made the first
move.
You
should feel empowered. You essentially made that relationship start.
I don't care if I did make the first move or not. I would wear it with a badge of honor, but I didn't in this case. That's the thing.
You did. Stolen valor.
It's not a matter of being embarrassed about
it. Okay, but this is what I feel, because I think if roles were reversed and he liked your photo, you would say that he made the first move.
Becca, you are on it today.
Thank
that
you.
Is so accurate.
Becca is so off it today. What are you talking about?
Dead on.
You know it's true.
It's not true.
Tanya Rad, if Robbie liked your something on Hinge, and then you messaged him first.
Partner, I don't know.
Okay, if you said, hey, partner, that's a zero move.
Yeah, that's putting things in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
that's a negative move.
Hey, want to be my life partner?
Okay. And then people are asking, I know for 99.9% you would say Robbie made the first move.
Yeah, you would.
I don't think so, you guys.
Yes, you do. Yeah,
of course.
She's like, I don't think so, you guys.
I don't think so.
That's what started this whole thing, this whole relationship, and Sunny, and trips away, the weekends away. It all started from that one like of the photo. That is the atom that became the Big Bang.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy, though? I was thinking about it the other day. We had a couple of my friends over and a couple of his family. And we've all kind of created a little group together. And Paulina looks over and she's like, how crazy is it that this all started on a dating app? I was like, I know. It's so weird.
I mean, it's just it's what's our society is now. What
I know.
Dating looks like.
I know. It's weird. But anyways, that Q&A was very, it was very fun. I think he enjoyed it. He's like, did I do okay? I was like, you're a little low energy, but it's fine. We didn't sleep very much, so you get a pass.
And not in a sexy way.
What?
Because of the lingerie.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't sleep much.
So
not in a sexy
excited.
Way.
I packed it. It was my really raunchy lingerie. And I was like, this is going to be a hot weekend away. Yeah. Wedding. Never pulled it out.
Yeah.
I was too drunk both nights.
Oh, I didn't even know you were that drunk.
Oh, my God. Could not even barely shower. Plop
but I'm
bed.
Proud of you for showering.
Thank you.
Even mustering through it.
It was really funny though, because we were at the same hotel as this one of JoJo's friends from Dallas that I dated years ago.
Oh yeah.
But it was so funny because we started to talk and kind of hang out with him and his girlfriend, and Robbie's like, I like that guy. What's his name? I was like, of course you do. You're like every guy that I dated.
Yeah, he really connects with the guys you dated.
Yeah, yeah. Which I like. You
yeah.
Know?
It means that you have a type. Like, they'd all get along.
They'd all
if you
get
put
along.
Them in a, yeah. yeah.
I like
if you
that.
Were like the Bachelorette and you had all the guys, yeah, they'd right. all get along.
I like that.
It's good news.
Yeah.
I was going to, oh, so y'all started watching Grey's Anatomy. I thought y'all had done this already.
Yeah. Well, so he reminded me that he has, because we started again to watch episode one, season one. He's like, I've seen this. And we actually got through, we burned through the first like five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he like it?
He does like it. You forget the life lessons that come out of those early seasons.
I mean, those monologues that used to happen.
Yeah.
And they would tie into not only the episode, but your life. Uh-huh. Those were the glue of Grey's Anatomy.
The glue.
I think they still do them. I think they still do the monologues.
There was like one of the episodes ended with this, the saying like, why put off tomorrow what you can do today?
Okay, and then, well, that's a pretty common quote.
No, I know. But the next day he was like firing off doing all these things that I've been asking him to do for a while. And he was like, why put off tomorrow when you can do it today? I was like, no, Grey's Anatomy is coming in clutch.
Are you going to imprison him into 19 seasons or whatever it is of this?
No. We'll just stop when, if there's a better show that's new that we can watch together, we'll
there's
switch.
A million of them.
There's not
so many shows. This is the glory era of television. It's wonderful. I could never go back and watch Grey's. I'm into Better Call Saul. I've gotten Better Call Saul back.
Tried.
Russian Doll. Better Call Saul is fantastic. Really? You said you liked it.
I liked it, but it didn't keep me going. Like, I watched, I think, two or three and I was like, meh.
It will. If you like Breaking Bad, you're going to love it. I'm telling you.
I was like, meh.
Just a meh.
Just like meh.
Yeah, I feel like I might have to delete TikTok or something for a second because I can't. My attention span is gone. I cannot sit and stare at a TV for like longer than 10 minutes before. If it doesn't hook me, I'm like out.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
There's no hookable shows right now.
I saw this video of this girl talking about how she got off social media for a month or multiple months or something. And she was like, these are the things I noticed. And she said her attention span, she could sit through a movie without like being distracted. Like these things that you don't even think are happening while you're scrolling. It was pretty fascinating. Granted, it's a huge part of my job, so I have to figure out. TikTok's not really. That's just part of my entertainment, mm-hmm. nightly routine. Mm. But it is fascinating what it's doing, the like doom scrolling.
Oh,
and it's not very like uplifting. Like, there's a lot of uplifting.
On TikTok?
Oh, no, TikTok has a balance. Like, I'll see a video that makes me feel like we are on the up and up, and then the next TikTok is so discouraging that I'm like, oh no.
I learned so much on TikTok. Like, I learned how to get goo out of my patio couch with like a Q-tip the other day. I learned how to make these like salmon bowls, these like salads. I find like all mine are very informational, but I never actually use any of it.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a very different algorithm.
Yeah.
I got this roasted potato recipe off TikTok, but they go so damn fast. I'm like, I have to watch it like 1,000 times around and write it down.
Yeah.
And the guy started the video off by saying, the last time I posted this recipe, Kylie Jenner liked it. And I had to hear that so many times. We now call them Kylie Jenner potatoes.
Yeah.
And yeah, anyway, the recipes are cool, but like, that's a problem. I think I know you can pause, but I'm not that fast.
Right.
Easton, how are you feeling about your, I don't know if it's just continued feelings about Hillary Duff or if these are like revamped feelings or what.
Okay, well, she, for those who don't know, she graced the cover of Women's Health this month and Baird All. And I just want to say, when Hillary Duff first hit the scene, I thought she's an attractive woman and at the time an attractive young lady, but I was seduced by her music. That is what brought me in, and her acting. I always thought she was gorgeous, but I was never like, oh my God, like Hillary Duff's the hottest person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was a different type of, allure that brought me in. And then these pictures, oh man, it's stunning. If you haven't seen them yet, the Women's Health cover and, she did a bunch of pictures for them. It was quite the weekend.
I think we all kind of had a collective moment of being like, oh, wow, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
I also love like the photos were just so like I mean, obviously they're sexy. Like, she looks incredible, but they were so beautiful. And like,
yeah,
the way that her hair, ever, I
tasteful,
mean, I don't know, guys,
some may
taste,
say.
Taste, very tasteful.
That's going to be like our boudoir photo shoot.
Oh, speaking of, we should talk about that after we take a break.
Okay, great.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Let me tell you about this social battery over here.
Yours?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It is drained.
Why?
Because I'm not giving myself enough Tanya time.
Oh, I know how important Tanya time is.
I'm not giving it to myself because I've been working a lot and I think I've just been overly social that I'm not factoring in the time I need just for myself.
Well, I also think it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially you, and especially with social gatherings picking up after winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time.
Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I do think one of the things that has helped me with like setting boundaries of where I'm spending my energy has been therapy, and knowing how to, first of all, set the boundaries, and also knowing how to pay attention that when I'm feeling drained and I don't have capacity, that I can tap into a place where I have more to give.
And it's also built in you time.
Yes,
which
exactly.
Is very, very necessary. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/scrubbing today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/scrubbing.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy,
Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Danya's still complaining about who made the first move. She's trying to find a way to reverse it, but I think I think my hypothetical roles reversal really
is fine. I don't think he listens to the podcast, so
I'll text him in the group chat.
I'm also gonna text him.
So we have our boudoir photo shoot coming up.
Yeah.
May 23rd.
Give or take
a day.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it?
Great.
Feels so good.
So good.
You got your crotchless undies ready to...
Oh yeah, I got the lingerie ready to go. Mama's ready.
Did you really already order lingerie for that?
I'm going to use the one that I bought for Valentine's Day.
That collar thing?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
Are you going to be... are you too intimidated to be in a room with me with that thing on?
No.
Because watch out, girl. It is spicy.
No, I'm not intimidated by that at all. But I was just thinking about how... Who thought we were going to be taking them together? Mark? And who thought that we were taking... Or was that maybe. You?
I don't know.
And I was like, absolutely not. But I'm happy to take photos for you and whatever you want to wear. But that thing is, I just can't imagine it being like.
Well, describe it for us.
Okay. So, well, what's the bottom? Is it just a thong?
It's a thong and it's they're crotchless.
Okay.
Tasteful because it's like lace, right?
Okay, so it's
like
a
lace thong.
And then it's like a strip. Is it leather or satin that goes all the way up?
I don't think it's either or. It's like it's almost like a that bra strap material. I think it's like a bra strap.
Okay.
Wait, sorry, I have a structural question before we move on. If it's crotchless and a thong,
thank you. I
don't understand how that can work.
So the crotchless underwear have sides.
Yeah.
So it's just like
for like your flaps.
So it meets in the back.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Then
it meets in the front. So just.
Yeah.
So I was like, at a certain point, this is just a belt, right?
Kinda.
But.
Well, going vertical.
I'm afraid to Google this, but I might have to.
Well, so then it's a strip of fabric going up and it goes around the neck like a turtleneck.
Like a little turtleneck. Nothing else. It's so hot.
So wait, so what's covered?
Nothing.
her neck, a tiny bit of her neck, and then her chest, her sternum and stomach. Yeah.
My belly button might be covered.
Her butt crack, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Leave him wanting more.
Yeah, that's right. Becca's going to capture that bad boy.
I got to find the right angles for this.
Do you have yours?
No, I should
get
on
shopping for it.
Yeah.
Oh man, just to see the square inch of your sternum that's covered right now, that'd be so hot.
I'm actually really interested to see how these turn out and how the actual shoot goes down, because I feel like we're gonna be cracking up the whole time. Like the photos are probably gonna suck.
How dare you?
For me, for sure, my photos of you are probably gonna suck.
Yeah, I'm gonna be so upset because Tanya, I'm like. Honestly, if I ever decide to really go for it and have the time and energy to do so, I would love to go and learn more about like photography and videography. I love taking photos and videos. So Tanya's going to get like the most stunning photos in this crotchless piece of fabric. And then I'm going to get mine and be like,
they're blurry.
Mid laugh.
Yeah. Just like four chins, like while I'm laughing, just... It's okay.
So, Becca, you have something that's a little bit more...
I think I'm going to go more chaste. Of like a pretty, like, you know, I think, I don't know that chaste would be the word, but a little more like, you know, subtle, like a little more like
a teddy?
Mysterious.
Like a little teddy?
Yeah, just something.
Like a 90?
I don't know about 90, but no, like what? Yeah, just something. I don't know, like maybe like a bra and underwear and like maybe like a pretty like silk robe, something that's like, oh, you know. Yeah.
More covered.
Yeah. Well, anything I wear, I can say this, will be more covered than what Tanya's wearing.
Fact. Fact. I might pull a Hillary Duff and just go completely sans.
I honestly feel like that might be better. I don't, from what I've seen of that thing, I don't see it being like
a,
like.
Well, that's a good question. Tanya, if you were to wear that thing, would you do like Hillary Duff and cover the naughty parts?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not just going to go like,
all right.
Full.
All right, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she'll get banned from Instagram.
No, I'm not going to post these. Crazy. Oh,
God. By the way, I heard back from Robbie.
What'd he say?
I said to him, 100% Tanya made the first move and Becca agrees. And he responded, LOL, not debatable. So there we go.
Wow.
Wow.
And he, Robbie loves a debate. So if he says not debatable, yeah. Case closed.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow. But I'm excited about our shoot. And then we have Wango Tango.
Yeah, so our photo shoot's going to happen next week. It's just going to be that when we can properly do it. Because I think we each want to do them in our bedrooms, right? So maybe we do one day mine, one day yours.
Okay, well, Life in General is coming over for a consult to help me reorganize my whole
even
home.
Better.
So I don't know if my bedroom's going to be in disarray. No, I was saying like... You know, to do it in my bedroom.
She's gonna be in there all week?
I don't know. I have a lot.
So we're gonna figure
out
the logistics of the situation.
We could do let's just do it in the scrubbing in office room right here with Rad behind me.
You can't have a sexy photo shoot in my studio, my apartment.
Pulling all the cables like a snake, you know?
It's like Playboy's Women of Podcasts.
Or Tanya has her, like, she basically, it looks like she has a cord going up her stomach and around, so she could just, like, have the mic on. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no. Why do I feel like she's been practicing? Are you going to wear makeup? Are you going to go like sans, like just be like natural?
I think I'm going to try and be natural.
Just like no? Just zero?
No, yeah. And maybe like my hair like all back, like slick back. So like no hair, no makeup.
Oh
just,
my
like,
gosh.
Pure beauty.
Raw.
Yeah.
Just raw and real.
Just raw and real.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be a good time. So we really need to figure out the logistics, like the days we're going to shoot. And then maybe if they're good, maybe I make a book of them or something.
Yeah, well, I thought the whole point of that, of those shoots, is to give it to your, like, significant other.
Oh, is that what you were going to do? I thought the whole point of the shoot was just so that we could feel good.
If I could just, well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of the shoot. If I could just get a photo that makes me feel good from this, I'll feel good. Yeah.
Let me tell you about the sugar, though.
What sugar? Oh, the non-sugar. There's no way you went on that vacation this weekend and didn't have sugar.
I did not. I did have one bite of the wedding cake.
It's a lot of sugar.
I know. Yeah. But I was like so drunk and it looked so good. And so I took a bite and he comes walking over and he was like, who? And I was next to Emma and her husband, Graham. And I was like, tell him it was you. Like, oh, it was us. It was us. That was really good. And he was like, you're vegan. You're not eating that cake. So, but yeah, you know, I'm just getting used to coffee without sugar and just, you know.
I don't like the idea of putting Robbie in charge of your sugar intake. I think it's going to create resentment. I think it's going to annoy you. He's going to annoy you at a certain point.
He already has.
And that's unfair. Exactly. Yeah. That's not fair.
But I am happy I put him in charge, because when you put that man in charge of something, boy, let me tell you, he follows through. So it was good for me to put him in charge because it's good.
That's interesting to me, because when I put anyone in charge of anything in my life and they like they say something to me that I ask them to do, I immediately am like, no, like you can't tell me what to do, even though I ask
yeah,
them to do
how
it.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
So I find it interesting because you are kind of that way. You're like, I do what I want. I'm a modern woman. And all of a sudden you're able to be told what to not like. That's interesting.
It's
that
because
you're...
I want it myself. I want to do it myself, but I'm not strong enough right now. I will be strong enough soon. It's been a week.
I'm impressed. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
I ate a waffle yesterday and I didn't even need the syrup on it. It was so sweet and delicious. It was incredible. And I was thinking, there's no way Tanya went through this town with all these bakeries and like these pastries and didn't eat sugar.
Nope.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you. One day at a time.
Does this last forever?
What they say, it takes 21 days to break a habit. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Trying to get to where you don't need it.
Yeah.
To survive.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to have my sugar after every meal.
Oh, but it's so good to have the balance.
I like a palate cleanse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard to have something savory and not follow it with something sweet.
I know.
Especially if it's a little spicy. I like to put the fire out with like a little mint or something. Yeah.
Tell me about
delicate.
It. Delicate. Yeah. Delicate.
Mint is so delicate to me. It's
I know. Like, you need mint chocolate.
Mint. I'm into that. Yeah. Oh.
Mm.
Like, so you're like, just no ice cream.
Like Girl Scout cookie season. Where will I be? Just donating my money and not getting the cookies.
You should get the cookies and give them out to people.
That's okay.
Yeah. They don't want them. They have like 4,000. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I have no desire to join.
But you know what's
I'm
so funny? When you're like doing something new, you like tell everybody about it. So yeah. We were like in the coffee shop and I ordered my coffee and I was like, no sugar, you know, did the whole thing. And the guy making the coffee was like, oh, I did this for 2 years. And like, he like needed to do it. And he said he lost like 90 pounds. And he was like giving me tips and tricks of things.
90 pounds. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But I got into like a whole conversation with this man in Solvang about is 2 years without sugar. And now he eats it like once every 2 weeks to kind of like just be like a balance.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
You know, so I'm just making friends along the journey. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, the cool thing is you are not the first person to do this.
Right, right.
And you will not be the last. So there are many that have come before you and many that will come after you.
Like, it's just nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with emails. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back, and I said emails before we left, but we only have one email. So
which
Mark,
means you guys got to email us, scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com.
Yeah, y'all keep emailing us. We don't know that our advice is great, but we love giving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before I do this, I just want to say thank you to the Scrubbers. I got a lot of wonderful feedback from last week's episode where we touched on women's reproductive rights. I was blown away by the avalanche of positive response I got from my thoughts, your thoughts, Easton's thoughts. It was really nice to see, and I really appreciate that. So thank you for that.
I'm glad.
I was actually kind of bracing for the worst.
Me, I was too, yeah. Mark. I'm glad you brought that up because I also got so many supportive messages and thoughtful messages, and I also got messages that I had multiple messages where we had really nice conversations. We didn't agree on everything, but I just appreciated the dialogue. It wasn't this nasty back and forth. And
I also appreciated
that too.
I appreciate those the most when they come in hot and then you respond with your thoughts and then they're like, wow, that was, it's a respectful conversation.
Yeah. So I also felt the same way. I don't know if Easton got a lot of messages since he directed them to himself, but
I was ready. I was ready for a fight. I got my thumbs working, but I didn't get a single mean message. I got one person that was they don't like the new Cheesecake Factory flavor. It's this Cinnabon thing. And they're like, it's not that good. But I was like, this isn't what I was looking for. But
those are fighting words with you though.
That was pretty controversial.
They got blocked. Yeah. They got blocked right away. But no one said any. I got inundated with nice messages. People showing support. People appreciating that we talked about it on the show, and it's just so important for all women. And I'm glad you ladies gave the platform.
Ladies,
that's all.
Mm-hmm. I'm also locked out of the Facebook group again. So.
That's by design.
There you go. Yep.
Might be for the best.
No, not the Facebook group. Out of Facebook, the app.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who blocked you?
No. I can't get into Facebook anymore. So that's the challenge. Yeah.
All right. From Anonymous, I've heard you talk about imposter syndrome, and I have a question related to that. Backstory. I got married in my late 20s. By the time I got married, many of my friends had started families with their husbands, working as stay-at-home moms, teachers, nurses. I'm from the Midwest. It's a Catholic community, so it was all very common. Well, I'm 35 now, and I can't help but feel guilty about my success. My friends who are teachers and nurses have had the worst several years of their lives, and my business has flourished, all while not putting my life at risk every day like they are. My husband and I just finished building our dream home. It's 4 or 5 times bigger than any of my friends' houses. We also purchased a vacation home recently.
Over the last couple of years, some of my friends have made comments about the money we spend and the lifestyle we have. They aren't necessarily negative, but they're comments that show an understanding of the wealth disparity between us. The pride I once felt of being an independent woman making my own money has now turned into guilt. I don't feel worthy of my success when I see my friends around me struggle with raising their kids during this crazy time while working on the front lines of a pandemic. I'm wondering if this is something that you two have ever had to deal with in your careers. How do you celebrate your success while feeling like others deserve it more, particularly when it comes to money?
This is an interesting... I don't think I've ever thought about, or like I've never had to think about this. I think, I mean, I have so many friends and I think we're all in different, like we all have different careers, a lot of us. And I think that celebrating success, whatever that looks like within the friend group, has always been important. I mean, to me, I think it's really, I love my friends who have more money and bigger homes and vacation homes. I'm like, invite me over, like let me come have you know, a piece of that. So I think I imagine, like, even if your friends are aware and they're, maybe they have days where they're like, ugh, I wish I was, you know, not having to deal with this financial stress and job stress, and I wish I could live my life like her. But I think ultimately it sounds like your friends are probably happy for you, and I don't know that they maybe would ever want you to take on the guilt of feeling guilty for your, or the weight of feeling guilty for your success. I think they'd want you to be very proud of yourself.
It's interesting because I've never felt, in regards to the email, I've never felt that way with my friends, in that sense, but I have felt that guilt of, like, I remember, you know, when I first started working, I was like interning. So I was making no money for working 12 hours a day. And then, like, I slowly started to, like, increase to the whatever, I think it was like $6.75 or whatever minimum wage was when I first started. It was like a slow increase. And then I remember when I got a big increase, when I got my on-air position, I did feel that guilt. I was like, I'm a single girl. I don't have a family. I don't need this paycheck. Other people need this paycheck more than me. And, like, I felt that immense guilt at that point in my life. But I think what I realized is, I don't know where that guilt comes from, because I think it does come from imposter syndrome, because you're like, you're happy, you obviously love your business, you love what you do, and you're happy. And so it's kind of like, why do I get to, you know, love my career and make money at the same time? Like, I don't know. It's so weird, because I know exactly how you feel, but I don't know how to combat it, because I still get those feeling. I still get that feeling a lot of the time. And I don't know. I think what you can do maybe for your friends is, like, I try and just do nice things for people a lot of the time, you know? So if you could treat your friends to, like, a nice dinner, or you can send them, you know, their favorite meal on Postmates, or just do generous and nice things for people. I just think being generous and an open hand, I don't want to say takes away the guilt, but it just, I don't know.
Well, I think if you have the extra amount to do thoughtful things like that, like if you know they're having a hard time, like buying groceries, like simple things like that, I think, you know, you can help them with things like that, or take them to dinner and, you know, pick up the check. I think there's ways of doing it, but I don't think it's your, like, I don't think if they're your friends that they would want you to feel guilty for your success. I think you should be very proud because you've chosen the path that you've chosen, and it just was different than theirs. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a good thing. I think it's just a different life and it looks different. And maybe at a certain time, their life will look different in a way that they have more than you. Like, things just change in life. So I would just try to, like Tanya said, be generous where you can and when you can, and not try to carry the weight of that. But I don't know if the guys have any opinions.
I think women deal with this a lot more than guys do. I mean, I've had the imposter syndrome of, what the hell am I doing producing this big radio show, because I'm just an idiot from Madison, Wisconsin, who knows no more nor less than anybody else in this building or on the street practically, you know? So I deal with that. But the guilt element, I don't deal with as much. You know, I see friends, you know, high school is an interesting thing. It's like a starting line and everybody goes. And some of you are going to end up very wealthy. Some of you are really going to struggle. Some of you are going to not be alive in 20 years. And some of you, you just never know. It's such a weird roll of the dice for everybody. You just don't know how it's going to turn out. And I see people who are doing way better than me. I'm like, and then I see people who are doing worse than me. I'm like, So
I don't know, guys. I think we're like more, it's more instilled in us to just kind of be more proud of what we have and not really think so much about how it compares to what others have. Or I think women have that guilt a little bit more, and I'm not sure where that comes from.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I remember at the start of the pandemic, I picked up an extra gig helping a certain ABC show broadcast from home. And for the first time in my life, I was getting a check from the Walt Disney Company, which is something I've always wanted. I got a check with Mickey Mouse on it. It was really exciting. And I was making a lot of money doing this. And I had a lot of friends that worked for Disney that had gotten furloughed or laid off because of, you know, because the parks were closed and stuff like that. And I felt so guilty because I'm like, my job didn't change through the pandemic. Like my regular job did not change at all. And now I'm getting more money. I'm getting more work. There's all these people that need work and I'm getting more of it. And I felt so bad about that. And I was like, I don't deserve this. And I talked to my therapist about it a lot. And, I ultimately like was able to be like, I'm not like, you know, if not me, it's just gonna be someone else doing this job. It's a different thing. You can't really compare the two. And then the imposter syndrome thing, I've never dealt with that. I've always been very sure of myself, and that's a uniquely male thing. I think I agree with Mark there. You know, men are told they're the greatest at all times. So you know, we don't have those same challenges.
But and then the emailer's point about how, you know, her friends are literally saving lives all day long.
Yeah. Right.
And coming home and struggling to pay the rent. I understand that guilt. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'm not sure what to do with that except for what Tanya and Becca already suggested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think if you have, I think that's a sign of empathy. Like, I think if you're able to think that way and even like have that thoughtfulness for your friends and like the awareness, I think that's a gift in itself, because I think a lot of people don't have that awareness of the, like you said, the disparity between paychecks and what life looks like. But I think it's just as simple as like you being a good friend to them and being available to help when you can, whether it's financially or time-wise, helping with the kids, like whatever you can offer, I think is really thoughtful that you even care. So I would be very proud of what you've done and what you've been able to make for yourself. And like Easton said, if it's not you, it would have been someone else doing it. And I think you can use the gifts and the things that you've been given to help those that you love. And I think that's really special.
Yeah.
And good for you for having those feelings, because if there's one thing that we could use more of in the world, it's empathy.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's true in a lot of different facets of life. The world would be a much better place if we all had a little more empathy.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
I'm going to prescribe We Were Happy. Taylor song?
Oh, yeah. We Were Happy. Well,
yeah. Thoughts?
I don't know what that's about. I felt like you just read the title. Like, I don't
think.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I like the title. It's like a nice title.
Okay. All right. I would say State of Grace.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I think Becca's better at this.
Yeah,
I'm such a lyric person, so like every song, I'm like, no, that's like when Tanya suggested, I'm like, that's not right. Those lyrics do not match.
State of Grace is good. Don't blame me.
That's kind of like a revenge song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're done here.
Anyways, we do have an episode this Thursday. It's a game episode,
yes,
which we love to do. We hope you love to listen because we have the best time doing it.
So we will be back in a jaunt.
I created a game called Hilo. We've done a little bit something similar before, but it's got some more structure to it now. It's not based on somebody else's show like Feud and Jeopardy. Wow. It's its own thing. Oh. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll stay tuned. We'll be back Thursday. Don't forget to get your tickets for Wingo Tango. We're going to be hanging out in the Scrubbing In section. Come one, come all, come by yourself, come with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good time. Go to AXS.com and you're going to search Wingo Tango. Click on that and then click on podcast promo. And the promo code is Scrubber.
Scrubber.
Scrubber. So get your tickets. We can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. Good music. Good times. Good people.
And good vibes.
And good vibes. That's what I was looking for. All right. We love you all. We'll see you Thursday. Have a great week. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.